But dear brethren, as a reminder, we are continuing our study and our confession of faith, and that's particular part that I have entitled The Biblical Work of Salvation in the Heart of Man. And again, if you don't have a copy of the Confession of Faith, I believe you'll find this chapter. It's on page 677, I believe. But as we come to it this morning, so far we're working through this, and I hope to some degree that you're beginning to see what the importance of this very study is. As we see salvation, we've read our Bibles, we know what the Bible says about those being saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I wanted to look behind the scene, as it were, and to see how that work actually takes place. And in this section that we're looking in, we find that it is clearly marked in our confession of faith. Chapter 10 is effectual calling. Indicates that it's God himself that called those whom he is going to save to himself. And then we have justification. That is God himself that through his son and his death on the cross calls us righteous before him. Not anything we did. And we can't live in this life even after confessing Christ that we're going to do something to atone for our sins. They have been done and taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 12, we looked at adoption. And that is the wonderful truth that God takes us into his family as his own. And we have to look back and see and think and remind ourselves what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. And when God made them two, that they would be the mother and father of the whole human race. But the devil come and he beguiled Eve and brought her into sin. And at that point, sin entered into mankind. And God needed to give a redeemer at that time, which he told even Adam and Eve that he would give a redeemer. And he told them that he was going to come. And he was going to be the one who destroyed the head of the serpent. But then we find God himself is the one who adopted us now because we were laden with sin and outside of him, but he brought us to himself. And then he said not only that, but he sanctified us. He set us apart for his service only. And that doesn't mean that we don't have our lives and live our lives and have our jobs and everything we've got to do, but we do all things to the glory of God. And then we are in chapter 14, which is saving faith, is what we're looking at now. And as we come to this, we have previously focused on saving faith, and each paragraph begins with a statement about faith itself. The first paragraph, it says, the grace of faith whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. Here the writers of the confession prove from the Bible that the root and function of faith is that which God works in the heart. And in paragraph 2 we have, by this faith a Christian believes to be true whatsoever is revealed in the word for the authority of God himself. In this paragraph we have the operation of faith and what it does. This morning we will begin in paragraph 3. And it also makes an important statement about faith. Notice in paragraph 3. This faith, although it be different in degrees and may be weak or strong, yet it is in the least degree of it different in the kind or nature of it, as is all other saving graces, but be many times assailed and weakened. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. From the faith and common grace of temporary believers, and therefore, though it may be many times assailed and weakened, yet it gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. In this final paragraph, the focus is on the significance and dominance of faith. We can see that in a different ways. First of all, the first thing, the nature of saving faith is shown to us here. It says here, this faith, although it be different in degrees and may be weak or strong, yet it is in the least degree of it different in the kind or nature of it. And then we can skip the little phrase in the middle there, from the faith and common grace of temporary believers. Now, here's a powerful statement being made here. Many people go in the world and say they have faith, but they don't have real faith. And what this chapter or this portion is telling us, that there is false faith and there is true faith. And which each and every one of us can look in our own hearts and minds and think about this even this morning. May the Holy Spirit help us to work our way through this. It starts off with this faith, although it be different in degrees, it may be weak or strong. It is at this point that this chapter of the folk focuses on the biblical meaning and function of faith. We're now going to look and see what it says. We had two paragraphs before this, but now this one, it focuses upon the meaning of faith. Faith itself, it says, this faith. The Greek word for faith comes from another Greek word that means to win over or persuade. It is used subjectively in the Bible and also objectively. Subjectively, meaning firm persuasion, conviction, or belief in the truth. As in Romans 14 and 22, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. And you can know for yourself what the writer is saying, Paul the Apostle is saying that, you know, it has to be a real conviction what you're doing. Also, how about Hebrews 11 and 1? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's not deep hard for people to have faith in something that they can look at, right? As I said a few times, you come into this building, you see these seats, you know, you've come been here many times. So you don't go and check the seat, pull it aside and shake it and make sure it's going to hold you. You just sit right down. Huh? That's easy. But we're talking about faith, and that is how powerful than that. He says in here, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is also used in an objectively sense, meaning that which is believed has doctrine or articles of faith. John 3:16, wonderful verse we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That statement there, that verse is all a statement of doctrine. And you and I, if we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have put all our faith in what that verse says. God so loved the world that he gave. And it takes us back and makes us think of all things. God loved the world. Now, there are people who are breaking right now today and say, well, if God loved the whole world, how come anybody going to go to hell? But that's not what he's saying. God did not just love. And remember, Jesus comes to a new work that is going to go when God's going to take people from every kindred, tongue, and tribe in the world. So God loved the people from, not just the Israelites, as we saw this morning as we read and how they turned from God and went into horrible sin, but he loved those who he had taken out of the world. So it is from the world that he's drawing those, not from one particular group any longer. So he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he says this with it. What love is this, dear people? He so loved that he gave. He gave his Son. And he gave his Son that he would die for us. And that we would not die. And but have eternal life with him. This objectively. This looking at biblical truth and saying, now, I hold on to this biblical truth. And it is the faith that causes me to do that. And then the Bible teaches that faith is the conviction that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the gospel is the only means of salvation to a lost sinner. There's no other way to come to God. Now, we know the world looks about and they say, I don't even believe in God. Well, that's your problem, not mine. But I do have a desire to preach the gospel to you. And if you don't want to listen to it, that's up to you. But God will save those. The Bible teaches that he is the Savior. He is the only means of salvation. There are two clear statements about faith in the Bible. For first of all, it says, faith is in Jesus. Many people, they think they can be religious. And if you go, there are groups call themselves Christians right now. But they have faith, and that faith has been moved from Christ and moved from some other way. Catholicism, they look at the Pope and all and everything that's going there. They're turned from Jesus. As a matter of fact, they put Mary above Christ. And so how horrible can that be? The saving faith is focused on Jesus Christ. And this is what it said. The Bible teaches us. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. You see what Jesus is saying there. He's indicating that now in the world when he lived, when he walked there, yes, there was behind him the whole idea of the Old Testament worship. Remember, he was from the Old Testament worship too himself. He was from God's people who were called aside out of the world of all the others. Fantastically how he brought them even out of Egypt and into their own land. But now Jesus is saying now is that you have to look at something differently. I am the Messiah. I am the one. You're not looking back to the old thing now. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, Christ is made. If you hear my word, and I think you're not saying, just sit down in front of him and as he speak, you can hear the sounds coming from his voice and coming into your ear. It means it goes into the heart. He who hears my word, and he goes on and he says, and believes him who sent me. He does two things. I'm speaking the word of God to you right now. But he is the one who sent me. Now, as you listen to me, you believe him, the Almighty God who has sent me. And he says, those two things put together, hearing my word and believing him, you have eternal life. You give him life. And he does, and he says, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Isn't that a marvelous truth? You read that. And this is what faith does. It focuses upon Christ and what Christ has done. It doesn't focus upon ourselves. You see, religion is man trying him best to please a God, whoever he may be. Doing works that God will look at him and say, well done. That's not what the Christian faith is about. Sadly, some have made that a part, or as if it is what the Christian faith, but that's not it. What we see, we look at him and know what he has done. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, here Paul puts two things together, doesn't he? A lot of people may not understand what it is to believe in your heart. They may not understand what really, or may put confessing with your mouth all by itself. A lot of people have said, and you probably know some who say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is Christ. But they're falling away now. I remember first coming to salvation, all of us probably came to churches where maybe you go and you give a person the sinner's prayer. You tell them to say this and you're going to be saved. And I remember times doing that. But I can remember, look back at those that I did that to. None of them are in the house of God right now. Yeah, that doesn't hurt. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord. Now that confession here, when he says this, it has more in it just the fact of you just saying the words. Because he says, and you will be, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That really is the Bible, isn't it? That's all of salvation right there. Confessing in your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, as I say it many times, when you hear the word heart in the scriptures, it's not talking about that thing up in our chest that pumps blood throughout. It's your soul. It's deep in the inner man. When a woman, it's who you are inside. You've been spiritually made alive. You're no longer dead. You're now alive. And now that truth comes into you. And it's the very truth that moves you, motivates you, forms you, and causes you to be who you are as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you believe in the Lord that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. These verses focus on the biblical teaching of Jesus and the salvation that is attached to faith in him. But then there's special promises given in the Word of God too. John 1 and 12. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And it's a wonderful truth here. Believing on Him is the very thing. So here you look at the Word of God. You hear it says and how it works and what it does, and it works in, God, in your heart. But the confession paragraph goes on. Although it be different, now we speak in the faith, although it be different in degrees and may be weak or strong. This is a clear statement that true faith may not be on the same level always. And this statement is speaking of true believers who will experience a rise and fall in their faith. Though they normally have a strong faith, there may be a period when they feel that their faith is very weak. Oh, there are those who have found themselves even in the situation right now, and they're praying to God, and they're in their mind or so, they're really saying to themselves, is He really listening to me? Is His heart and mind towards me? Now, that is a weak faith at that particular time. And as you go on, you find yourself moving up even further and knowing that, yes, He is with me. He is the one. Here's what you and I must do. It says in Matthew 6:13, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? But see, the Bible is clear that we come to that point sometime and our faith is almost about to fail us. But we find that we will come out of that. Matthew 8:26. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Here, Jesus talking to those around Him. When Jesus was asleep on the boat crossing the sea and the storm arose, when Jesus and three of His disciples, Peter, James, and John, came down from the mountain of transfiguration, they met up with another disciple, the other ones who were left down there, and they were going on. If you remember in the text itself, there were a lot of people gathered around the disciples that was down, and they were trying their best to cast out demons. Mark 9:23, of all things are possible with him who believe. You see, they weren't able to cast them out. And Jesus was saying, it was by your faith that you weren't able to cast them out. All things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:24. Immediately, the boy's father cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. You remember the scene where Jesus, a man, brought a son to him. He said he has a demon in him, a spirit, and it throws him down. It doesn't do this and that, you know. And he said, if you can, you can make him well. And Jesus answered, if I can. And he says, all things are possible if you believe. Then it says, immediately, the boy's father cried out, I do believe, but help my unbelief. The two mixtures is right there. Are you like that sometimes? You praying to God and you pleading for a situation, Lord, you know, help me in this, you know. And then at the same time you wonder, if God's going to do anything. Yes, that is natural. Put it all in His hands, is what he's saying. And that would be the thing. But see, this is weak faith, and all of us true Christians go to that level. But then he also says it's strong faith, or what Jesus calls great faith. Remember the cleansing of the leper in Matthew 8:2-3. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, stretch out your hands. And he touched him. And he said, I'm willing. Be clean. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what our faith is. It's on him and on him alone. And that faith has to be knowing that Jesus is the one to do it. It's not, even though we do this and we must do this for our own growth, it is not in our Bible reading. It is not in our verse memorization. It is getting to Christ and know who Christ is and trusting in Christ and Christ alone. You remember the story of the centurion his servant was paralyzed. Jesus told the centurion that he would come to his house and heal his servant. But the centurion showed Jesus that he was not worthy of him to come under his roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. After hearing the centurion, Jesus said, Matthew 8:5, in the verse 10, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with among you in Israel. Even the very people that was looking for God and the one who was serving God, he said, Jesus said, I haven't found that kind of faith in you. Hebrews 1 and 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And you see, we're saying here that it is, and what we do and what we have in our hearts and how it comes back and how it is focused. And it must be, dear people, focused upon Jesus Christ. He is what God has done to us and for us in the world. He sent his son that he would die for us. We have nothing if we change the true biblical faith in Jesus Christ, which brings us to God and humbles us before God, into some other means. We don't have it. We have a new thing, a different thing. The confession goes on. Yet it is in the least degree of it. And here he says, what happens in the least degree? Least degree, when true faith is at its weakest, it is still true faith. And far greater than false faith. And he says it's different in kinds and in nature. And what he say here, what we have, it is not like faith that is man-centered and fails when things get hard. It is different, very different from that. From the faith of common grace and temporary believers. He says, now there are those who say they have faith, right? They have faith in grace. We have them in the Bible. They say they have faith. Here the confession makes it clear that there is a faith that some people speak of that is not biblical faith. They say they have it, but they really don't. It's a faith of common grace or temporary believers, it said. In Jesus' parable of the sower, he gives a clear picture of temporary believers. Matthew 11:20-21. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Notice what Jesus says. Now, you know the parable itself and what's taking place there. But he said he spread the seed. That's like the word of God being spread. And there are those that fall on different soils. And there are those people who may hear it. And they may say, oh, this is the greatest thing I ever heard. And they hold on to it. They join the churches. They live their life. They even tell people, I'm a Christian now. All that. But he says, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises, and notice this, because of the word, not if persecutions and afflictions have happened as far as in the world, but from the word. You hear the word, you have the word, you follow the word, but yet the word is not bringing nothing to you. And as a matter of fact, it's causing more harm in their lives than good. And they look at this and say, away with that. I don't want that. Immediately he falls away. And brethren, the hall of fame, if you want to call it, the hall of disfame for all so many people who held on to Christ, but now are not there, is filled with millions. Millions. They can't hold on to Christ. This is too hard. He wants me to come like a pauper in the world. Well, I got too much money. I'm a rich man. You know, there's no way I can turn from this life. Oh, I like doing this, that, and the other thing. And the Bible tells me I can't do that because it puts this, what I'm doing, in that category of sin. Uh-oh. No, well, you know what? I'm done with this. On my way. James 2:14 says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? He's saying there, one who's called into the kingdom of God, one who lives for the glory of Christ and God, he's going to have his life that's going to show. His life is going to show that he is one who has faith. The way he's going to live is going to be a proof of who he is. And he says here, if someone says he has faith but has no works. Now, works can fill up a lot of what we can do. It can be concerned with what you do for the others and even have yourself in contact, attached with a church or the people of God. Basically, that's what you see through the New Testament. That's what's happening. Those who are brought to Christ, they're joined to the church. They're with the people of God. But then, you know, if there's those who say, well, hey, look, I got this world and the world is this and that to me. And so, you know what? I don't have time for it. Can that faith save them? And there are many people, and I believe there's going to be many people, that when Jesus comes, they're going to say, haven't I? Lord, Lord, haven't I done this for you, do this for you? Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't even know you, you workers of iniquity. There are people who believe that they're living for God, but they're not. And though we may not be able to see it and understand it, he does. And he's going to cause those people at the very end, depart from me. That should make each and every one of us think about our faith right now, shouldn't it? Of what degree is it? What category does it fit in? Is it something that is just for the passing moment? And as we see this and what Jesus is talking about here, this kind of faith is not true biblical faith. It is counterfeit faith. And I like that word because we use that and we know our money. We got our money. You want it to be right, right? Give me a $10 bill. It's going to be a real $10 bill. No, not something that I'm going to take to the store and put it to the light and say, real. And we're going to know it because it's going to do its work in us. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 13 in that parable we just saw that those who go thought they had faith, found out that they had nothing. It was false faith. They were believing, they thought on something, but they really weren't believing. They proved to have faith that only reached to the level of what the prevailing idea of religion was. Oh, it sounds good. There is one, he's a parable. He's talking about the seed is sown. And oh, this guy, he's been over there talking to, man, you should hear what he's saying. And go and bring their friends and family members and listen to him. And they go, oh, this is good. But then probably in portion as he continues to talk on, he say, well, I don't like what he said just then. And they go on. They prove they have no faith. They have no real attachment to Jesus Christ. In John 6:69, we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Oh, to make a statement like that, it means that it's real in your heart. It's not in your head. It's not in your affections and your mind. It's in your heart, meaning the soul, that new revived soul that has been brought to you through the work of grace itself. They did not have faith marked by universal holiness. The absence of these graces are the features of common grace, meaning a grace that's not really true grace, which is just a false grace and not the grace God gave to and save sinners. Or it goes on and says, it's from temporary believers. Those are those that confess with in Jesus, but when following Jesus according to the Bible make hard biblical demands on their lives, they turn from Jesus to the world. I don't want that. I can't stand up to that. I don't think I want to do that any longer. And brother, this is what we see here. This part of the confession shows us, it shows us what faith is. And each and every one of us, you didn't hear something this morning that you never heard before. But may God even pin it more to our hearts And may we be those who would truly take an inventory of ourselves. We should be taking spiritual inventory every day, dear brother. When we pick up our Bible to read it in the morning or what time you read it, we should look at that and tell God to be and use that magnifying glass to look in that eye. And look in our hearts, and may it be that it will reflect a picture of somewhere on the wall that we can see who we are, really are inside. See, the outside shell doesn't mean nothing if the inside is full of, as Jesus says one time, dead man bones. It's nothing. How do we close a message like this morning? Well, I should say, in the light of the Word of God, we should ask ourselves a few questions here. As far as faith is concerned, and we should ask the first one, what kind of faith do I have? And that's not just to look at anybody and say, well, you need to look at yourself. I'm saying we should do this. I need to do it and you need to do it. What kind of faith do I have? Do I have that faith that holds fast to Jesus Christ? Believe everything what the Bible says about him. And even if there's some parts that I don't understand, I don't throw it out. I just say, Lord, give me understanding of it. And maybe one day I will understand to that degree. But it is your word, and therefore I look at it. What kind of faith do we have? Do we have true biblical faith from what we saw just a bit this morning? And what you have read, even in your own private reading, and as you bowed and prayed to God yourself, what kind of faith do you have? Is it true faith? Is it the kind of faith that it says, I don't care what comes my way, I'm a hold fast to Jesus Christ, and I will never turn from him? And we can ask this question, is my faith focused upon Jesus Christ and his death on the cross? You see, religion folks focus upon things that I can do to please God. You check that out. Every religion, that's what it is. So that's focused upon the person. If anything is in your mind right now, I'm doing this to please God, that's not biblical faith. But if you say, my focus is upon Jesus Christ, what he has done for me, his death on the cross for me, I can't move from that posture. Or in other words, I can't move from the cross, because I know that is where I got my life. Jesus died in my place, and I am the one who deserved to be dead. I'm not worth anything, we could say, and we ought to be able to say that. But Jesus so loved me, he saved me. And see, that causes us to look out of self and to look at Christ and God and what they have done. And ask another question. Do I trust in Jesus alone for salvation and not on my works? Is it what, if I'm looking every day as I get up, Lord, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. So now you ought to approve me. That's the wrong way. We don't do things to gain the pleasure of Christ and to gain salvation. We do things because we've been changed by Christ. And now the Spirit is working in our hearts. And we're trying our best to live to the glory of God. But we know that still must be done by him working in us. Ask another question. Am I living out my faith each day? Knowing he's the one and the only one. I end with this verse, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. You ever put it to that point, brother? My faith, where is it? I am who I am right now because my faith. And my faith is not in me and what I can do. My faith is in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Well, may God help us to be able to look to that. And we'll stop fighting with the little things that really don't matter to us in some sort of way. We put it into a religious compartment. We'll stop. We'll look to Jesus and to Jesus alone. May God bless you, brethren. And may we look and see and know that who we are now is not what we have decided to be. It was what Christ did for us. And right now, and we should say, I have true faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, that we can see in your word that you, what you have done for those who you marked out for yourself. Even before you made the worlds, you have caused those who you chose for yourself to come into your kingdom. And Lord, we look at ourselves right now and we think of our lives and we say, why me, O God? But we thank you, O God, that as we say that, we look to you and we say, it is nothing that I have done deserving of this and nothing that I am doing to maintain or to cause this faith to grow in me. It is you and your work in me. And Lord, let us be those who will search your scriptures daily, that we will even find that which will help us to grow in our faith. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Bless this word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.